This is at Trustworthy Slav.
This is at Incognito, COH.
CRKBlack.com build.
This is the Fed Post.
Feeling better, COH?
Yeah, I'm feeling all right now. It was a rough couple of days, though.
I'm assuming I had it because me and my girl were sick and she popped positive on one test. But, you know, whoever knows. The whole thing is like, who knows? Could be false positive. Who knows? But and you could have it and be asymptomatic. So there's always that, too, at any point. But when I had it, it was just like aches and fever. No other shit, really.
That's what it was like for me. For like the first day and a half, probably, I just had like really bad aches and I had a fever. My thermometer wasn't working.
Hey, you see what you just cut out?
Dude, he died.
Oh shit, dude! I actually just clicked the mute button. That's what happened. I was like trying to plug and unplug my mic. No. Okay. So the first day it was just like a fever and body aches and stuff, and like I just couldn't get comfortable anywhere. And then I told my work that, and they were like, "You gotta go get a COVID test." And so I got COVID tested the second day, and then it came back positive. But yeah, after that, the fevers went away, and that got better. But then I was just pretty tired, and then I got congestion like on the third day. That's been kind of hanging around now.
Yeah, the fatigue lasted a while from what I remember. Like that kind of lingered. You just kind of like. And then the whole time I'm thinking like, fuck, is this the long COVID? Is this the brain fog? You know what I mean? But really, I'm just smacked or just being dumb or whatever. But,
I lost my sense of smell, actually. That actually happened. I can't smell now.
That didn't happen to me. That happened to my girl, though. She was just like, no, she couldn't taste shit. She couldn't taste shit. She was like eating soup and was like, I can't taste the soup. And I'm like, oh, fuck. But, you know.
Yeah, I thought back. It was just like, I thought all that was just like you get congestion and so you can't smell good, like normal sickness. But I just straight up can't smell anything. Like I opened up a jar of weed and put my nose right in it and couldn't smell shit. Like
you don't know if it's dank or Reggie.
Yeah, I was like, this shit's mid. I don't know.
Yeah, that shit is probably kind of trippy, but it goes away. I mean, it comes back, obviously, but...
Yeah, I assumed so. It's a little unsettling. I was like, oh, I can't smell. Maybe I smell bad. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and it smells like tied to like memory and shit and like taste and everything. So it's like, it's just a weird feeling, I'm sure. But
Yeah, that would kind of freak me out a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah,
it ain't right. It ain't natural. That's for sure.
It literally ain't natural. Yeah.
Well, I guess we've outed ourselves as people who believe that COVID's real.
Oh, fuck.
I might have to cut this out in the edit.
Hey, well, yeah. I still don't think it's fucking real because I've never had it.
You haven't had it. Yeah.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I was like, and I know it's probably naive or kind of stupid or something, but that's fine. I was thinking maybe that I just wasn't going to get it. I was like, you know, it's been 2.5 years. I'm not vaccinated. I haven't gotten it yet. I've been in very close proximity to people that have had it and didn't get it. So I thought maybe I had just worked up some sort of robust immune response or something, but apparently not. No, apparently not.
I mean, it's impossible to never get a flu in your whole life.
If you get any flu...
I really believe that these tests will just pop false positives.
Definitely.
I guess the lack of smell is the unique signature or whatever. But I think that kind of happens with some strains of the regular flu, the seasonal flu. I think that's not unheard of. But either way, I mean, you could have also had it, or Slav could have had it, or I could have had it. Like,
well, yeah, I want to get that antibody test. I mean.
Yeah, because you never know. Like, if we just were asymptomatic and had it, and you know, the whole thing is, yeah, it's not even worth like thinking about, really. Like, it's
thinking about so that I can have like bragging rights, I guess, just to be like, I never got it.
wouldn't that mean you had got it if you got the antibodies?
Yeah. If I had antibodies, then I'd be unclean.
Oh,
forever unclean.
Yeah, I mean, COVID is really not a big deal. It's really just like any flu, really. I mean, at this point. But
Except that shit made in a lab.
Yeah, it didn't. I've had like a regular flu, and I don't think this is much worse than a regular flu, like severity wise. Like, I think I've been sicker from a regular flu, but this just felt weirder. Like, just less natural.
It taint right. It taint natural.
Well, it's true, because I usually have like sinus issues, and like my nose is usually the first thing that's fucked up. And for some reason, that was fine the whole time. So I was like, this is weird. But no, it definitely felt a little different. It definitely felt different. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's whatever. I can't even think about it too much, really. But But yeah, it's good you're feeling better. I mean, I guess we can just do like an hour minimum, because we already did our first hour, but my audio was garbage. I think I fucked up with the settings. So
I didn't sound that bad when I was listening back to it.
Yeah, I guess with headphones it doesn't sound so bad. But I mean, if we can, me and Slav were talking. Slav was pointing out like the difference between having 2 and 3 people is huge.
I was just gonna say, like, this is like first time talking 3 of us for me in like the last 3 episodes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh man, it's so much easier. It's so much easier to not have to be 50% of the conversation.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just with 2 people, it's just without you know, COH on the last one, it just felt like a lot. We just kind of ran out of shit, but I feel like you know,
and we just went full schizo mode, which actually like definitely worked out really well. Which, by the way, I have heard I've heard from a few people I know that they like really liked us just going all in on just weird esoteric schizo shit. So I'm very happy to hear that. I haven't listened back to it.
Yeah, I think it was, I was telling Slav this, but I think it was good for the period, because in the period that like the news is kind of stuck. The news has been stuck on like gas, abortion, guns, and just kind of like, you know, when I left on my trip and when I came back, it was pretty much the same news stories. So, you know, I think that was a perfect time to just go off on your own thing. And, you know, I think it was good. I think it was good. And I think it was the people who like it. It's a high hit for them. You know what I mean? Hits the spot.
Yeah. I can imagine you were listening to it just like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, I'll be honest. There were a few moments. I think I'm glad you guys like. I think the way you divvied up the bonus and the main was tasteful, because there were a couple moments in the bonus where I was like, what the fuck? But it was good.
Like,
it was
what
good.
What does this have to do with economic populism?
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple times where I was like, you know, cool it with the schizophrenic remarks. You know what I mean? There were a couple moments where I had that, but I think it was good. I think it was good. I wasn't there because I probably would have been slowing things down. but yeah.
Yeah, he would have been slowing things down.
Yeah, I would have been slowing them down by like, what do you mean? It would have fucked up the momentum. But yeah, I mean, you know, I guess the big thing now is the Roe v. Wade shit is over. It's still the same topic, basically. And I guess we kind of already did an episode about this when the clerk memo leaked. So I don't have too much to add. I don't know if you guys do. I guess the funny thing is the reaction.
Yeah, I mean, that's the news, right? Yeah,
people are freaking out.
I don't know. I mean, like, I think if we're unless we're being really lazy, I feel like we could find plenty to talk about with it. You know, like I mean, as far as like the actual like issue of abortion itself goes, yeah, maybe we addressed that. But I mean, there is a lot here to discuss.
I think we were originally going to talk more about like the legal framing and stuff like that. Didn't get around to doing that. And then also like repercussions or, you know, broader implications that could be affected by the legal framing or the specific language or whatever. I honestly just didn't know. I wasn't 100% certain that this would even happen even after the leak. I thought maybe something would derail it, or that leak was maybe like thrown out. Yeah, quick response thing. But yeah, sure enough, it happened.
You know, it's funny. It's I agree, but it's not that I didn't think they would do it or that I didn't believe the leak. It's more just it's kind of like before COVID really kicked off. It's just kind of the like, yeah, but nothing really happens kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, it's, you know, here at the end of the story, nothing actually changes ever. We're just in stasis. And it feels especially horrible to say that after the last couple of years, right? Because I thought that, like, that sentiment just got, like, absolutely taken behind the shed and killed with a hammer. But, I mean, it's not really surprising at all, right? Because
the justices are stacked in the right order.
Well, and because, the GOP has been, like, really, really clear about their intentions for, like, decades, right? They've, like, had a really clear strategy with SCOTUS. They've just been, like, gunning for it. And it's really, really clear. It's just like, yeah, the second we have the opportunity, we're going to repeal Roe versus Wade. And it never got codified as law. And RBG did the weird not resigning thing. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats didn't do anything. And they just let their pick under Obama just get stonewalled. And for anybody here that's like one of these, like, oh, I'm a policy wonk, big politics nerd that knows all about the protocols. Like, I don't know. There might have been some technicality that meant they had no recourse, but, like, I'm not going to get into the weeds and, like, really look at the fine print to check to see if, like, Democrat excuses are legitimate or not. Like, they always have a fucking excuse. They did nothing. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of funny because, like, on one hand, everyone's like, oh, my God, Handmaid's Tale. We're in the Handmaid's Tale now.
Oh, my God.
but also it's just like this was a slow rolling, like, train crash that, like, we knew was going to happen, like, 50 years ago. You know, like, this is the most predictable anything can possibly be in politics.
Yeah, that's true that they could have just codified it into law at some point in those 50 years, or at least, like, kind of attempted to, and I don't even think that occurred. And I do know that Nancy Pelosi sent out a fundraising email referencing the Roe v. Wade decision, like, within minutes of it hitting the news. Mm-hmm. That's something to think about there.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely one benefit of keeping it alive as a wedge issue is you can drum up votes in a midterm where you've been fucking up otherwise and it looks bad for you. This perfect opportunity, or, you know, just fundraiser dollars. Like, you know, there's plenty of ways to soak up an issue like this and keep it alive because you need it alive for the culture war. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of the legal thing I was saying before of, like, the Supreme Court is always overturning decisions. Like, if you look through the history, it's like, there isn't a real specific concrete set of rules for how the Supreme Court works. It's very vague. It's pretty short compared to how the other branches are set up in terms of the description. So a lot of it is just made up as it goes. So, again, things get overturned all the time. It's like the history of the Supreme Court. It's very political. There's always this feeling of, like, permanence, like, oh, shit, this is just changed history. It's like, yeah, it's gonna change again. It kind of goes to my pendulum perspective of, like, the right left cultural values, you know. Mm-hmm. And right left politics in general, it's just gonna keep swinging back and forth, and you know, this thing is overturned. I think from, like, an apolitical perspective, you think, oh shit, like, say you don't know anything about this, you're like, oh shit, does this mean, like, you can't legally get an abortion in the whole country now? Or, like, you know, you associate Roe v. Wade with, like, the abortion law, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And instead of people realizing that, oh no, this is just about states' rights. So what this basically means is it's still legal in blue states and it'll be illegal in red states. So if people want an abortion,
not even in, like, every red state, I don't think.
Like, yeah, maybe, yeah, and it might take some restrictions time and stuff like that.
Yeah,
everybody's gonna, and, you know, Roe v. Wade itself is, like, parsing out between trimesters, like we discussed. You know, it's like, you know, first trimester is okay to do it, third isn't, and, you know, so everybody's gonna have their own little tweaks by state of how they want to implement this and how they want to interpret it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just I don't know. I'm trying to care about this, but it's I'm shocked how little I care about this compared to, like, when I was younger.
Me too, to be honest.
And it's exactly what Slav said. It doesn't feel like a big victory or a loss. You know what I mean? Like, it's supposed to be, like, this huge win for the right and huge loss for the left. And I don't feel either of that. It just feels like, oh, it's going to states' rights. all right, so people can just still go get abortions in blue states. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, and yeah, all this people like freaking out and being like, oh my God, like Handmaid's Tale, like, oh my God, like you can't get abortion. Like we're forced to have these men's kids or whatever. Like you're in a, if you're a lib in a blue state, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You can still do it. So like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's all this, again, with a lot of this culture stuff, it's like things have to be blown up in value. And again, you know, to get votes, because that's what they're using this for. That's what they're saying. We got to hit the ballot box. So that's my read of the whole thing and the reaction.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. I have to say, like, I watching like just all of the absolute meltdowns and how like fucking vile people are reacting to the news is I told you guys this over text already because I kind of just had a moment yesterday. But like, it's honestly like making me seriously, genuinely consider the pro-life position like a lot more. And like that's, it sounds so petty and it sounds so dumb, but like it's honestly like a genuine feeling, because it's occurring to me that, like, as I said last time, right? Like, yeah, I'm, you know, ultimately pro-choice, but I think you kind of have to acknowledge that there's like, you know, a life there, right? Mm-hmm. There's a life being snuffed out there, right? Like, and I don't know, like you're saying, it's like, yeah, I don't really like feel a ton towards this, right? Which then I have to think, oh, all right. Well, I mean, I don't really feel all that strongly about like the purported right to an abortion, right? Like, I don't really feel all that strongly about that. And it's pretty neutral, right? And so then like putting that up against like, all right, well, what about the other side, that it's like killing a baby? I can't really like, I can't, given that like my feelings towards pro-choice are just so absolutely muted and almost non-existent, I have a hard time like defending my position as actually being pro-choice anymore. Like, it's kind of like I feel like I have to intellectually, just out of honesty, default to being pro-life. I mean, ultimately, I think it's just ultimately not an issue that sways me all that much. And at the end of the day, you kind of touched on it, and I was talking to some buddies about it the other day. And I was talking to my buddy that I actually did that housing thing with. I was talking to him last night, and yeah, I mean, we both kind of agree, like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, this has been like a 50-year-long thing. I mean, you know, this is, you know, abortion's a meaningful issue. Trans teachers grooming kids in public schools is a meaningful issue. But like, why right now? You know, there's a plunder afoot. Again, I can't fully follow that logic all the way, because like, you know, I don't want to just be dismissive, because it is a real thing. Right. Maybe it just kind of speaks to how indifferent I am about it. But yeah, I guess just to reiterate, it is just kind of like, if I am so indifferent, then shouldn't I default to like caring about the child that's getting killed? I don't know. It's kind of funny. Like, Roe v. Wade getting repealed has had the opposite effect on me. And I wonder if other people can relate. Maybe not.
Well,
maybe
I think I relate with that to a degree. Because I think I've had to really just kind of honestly sit down and engage with what my fundamental beliefs about, you know, abortion and life and stuff is recently, as a result of this kind of coming up into a discussion. And previously, I never really had like actually intellectually stirring conversations with people about it and had to develop an intellectual position or really investigate mine. It was just kind of like, oh, well, you should be able to get an abortion because like I'm a kid. I could get someone pregnant. I don't want a kid. I should be able to get an abortion. And that's just kind of how it was. But then when I sit down and I actually start thinking about it, then I think morally, I pretty strongly disagree with abortion. I think that it's, it is extinguishing a life. And I think that as a spiritual person, I don't really see how you can be, think that that's good or really be okay with that. I don't necessarily have a problem with abortion being something that you can access, and I don't have a problem with like having it available for, you know, specific circumstances, and also I don't agree with like putting people in jail that have had abortions or anything like that, but yeah, I do think that thinking about it at least more intellectually honest with myself, yeah, I definitely have a problem with it, with abortion. And I don't think that I would personally strongly disagree with an abortion if I was involved with the making of a child. I would hope that the person that I got pregnant would also share that with me. And if not, then I would try to convince them as strongly as possible not to do that. But at the same time, I think that at the end of the day, like, I think it probably should still be available. I don't think it's good behavior, and I don't think it's morally upright. But at the same time, I don't think that every single thing that I think is bad behavior, there should be made a law against. I think it comes down to the old arguments of prohibition versus eliminating the causes to that. And I don't think that prohibition is always the right choice in these instances. I think that it's proven not to work with drugs, with alcohol, et cetera, et cetera. And I think at the end of the day, it is infringing upon working people's rights. Now, whether or not you agree with that right, or you think it's valid or not, or morally upright, it is something that is like generally afforded to working class people in America. And this is something that is now taking that away. To a degree, like, it's not taking it away in black and white terms across the nation sweepingly, but it opens the door to take it away, right? And I think that if I'm going to be principled in my beliefs as far as how I feel about gun ownership and not wanting to give any slide there, and also my beliefs about personal autonomy as it goes towards vaccination and other medical procedures, I think that here I have to stand pretty resolute in thinking that I am pro-choice as a policy. But yeah, personally, absolutely not.
As a policy. Oh, gotcha. Like,
go ahead, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
No, I wanted to hear what you were going to say.
I didn't have much to say. What are you going to say?
You mentioned the class element of it, and that was kind of central to like my take on it last time. And I've thought about it more, right? And I still haven't ultimately changed my opinion all that much because it does. I guess I haven't really changed my opinion much at all. But because it comes down to a world we have versus the world we'd like to have kind of thing. But I've thought about it more. Right. And it's like, man. Right. Much in the same way that none of us here would be like, yeah, dude, fucking having a strong welfare state is the absolute greatest win that the working class can have. It's a band-aid, right? At best, and at worst, it's a pacifier to keep people from fucking busting your door down to be given what they're owed, right? Right. Now, in the case of abortion, it's like, man. I don't know how much of a win it is to celebrate like lower class people having the ability to basically like practice eugenics on themselves because their material conditions are so bad that they just like couldn't bring children in. Like it's like, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. But like at the same time, it's like, man, there's actually some like some definite like counter-revolutionary energy going on there, and it's kind of bug person shit a little bit, just to be like, oh, thank God I have the ability to kill my fucking unborn baby just because capitalists won't fucking are fucking me in the ass with scarcity. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think that's something interesting because it's made me think about how one of the responses that I've seen recently, especially out of people that I know personally, is that people will say stuff like, oh, you call yourself pro-life because you want this baby to live, and yet you won't support universal housing, you won't support universal pre-K, you won't support maternity leave, you won't support universal education and healthcare and this and that, and so therefore you're not pro-life, you're pro-birth or whatever. And then my takeaway there is, well, what if I'm down with all that shit and I got a problem with abortion? What then, right? And I think that that's a conversation that is being brought up now. It may be brought up under, I would say, maybe like not necessarily the best intentions, or not really brought up as a like actually in a meaningful way to discuss, but it is something that's being posited. That's like, oh wait, well, if we do have to keep all these kids alive, then we need to make sure we figure out a way to take care of them, right? That's kind of the root of what that that argument or complaint there is. And so I do see that there is this kind of divide or dichotomy or contradiction between abortion being available as an alternative because of the fact that people are living in conditions and they don't have access to all these things, as a way to kind of skirt the societal charge to actually take care of these children.
Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. No, because you're totally right, right? There's like a couple, there's a couple angles to this, right? Which is one thing that just doesn't get addressed a lot is that like churches do an insane amount of supporting fucking needy families. They do an insane amount of charity. And I'm singling out charity or churches just because like churches play a pretty fucking big part in this issue. And you know, you can in your city, you can go to a fucking Catholic church, Protestant, I don't give a fuck, whatever. And like you can get some support. There's a lot of services that they do, right? A lot of those people might not agree with an expanded welfare state and social programs like that. In a lot of ways, what we're talking about is just like forms of remedying the horrible effects of poverty, like forms of that are backed up just officially by the state in its like official capacity, and forms of it that are just like unofficial in charity. At the end of the day, they're both like bandages and like only marginally different. And the meaningful thing is to like get people some fucking capital, right? Is to like get people a fucking ownership stake in the fucking economy we're all in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't really know, like, again, cause like in that framing, churches actually do a ton of stuff to like support babies after they're born. And it's just weird that it's like dishonestly never churches and just secular charities. And it's weird that that's like never really acknowledged. And then that argument always reifies this stupid social democrat premise of just like, yeah, I mean, like the extent of our political horizons can just be like a Scandinavian style welfare state or something. And it's like, that's not, no, I don't like that, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think the whole thing just boils down, like you were saying, to the current actual reality of the situation and in an ideal world. And it just is, when you know that that's what we're dealing with, it's okay, well, how do we take steps to go from the current situation to the ideal world? And that's where these different tactics come in, right? Like we were saying, banning, prohibiting abortion, or doing these, you know, fixing these causes. And I think that I just lie on the side of ideally we try to address these causes and get people capital and not leave them out to dry in the first place, and not have them in situations where they feel like they can't have a child. And that is mostly kind of where I'm at with it. And I know that that's really nothing, but that's really kind of just, I don't have a strong opinion on this whole issue, and that's what the opinion is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I run the risk of just like saying what I said last time. But yeah, I mean, I just yeah, in what Slav was saying, like, oh, the right to abortion as like a win, like, yeah, that sounds weird to me. Like a win, I don't really see it that way. It seems more just like a band aid to just you know, you're in some condition, there's a broken home, or there's incest, or there's rape, or there's poverty. Having a kid is not feasible, or having the kid will just bring it into a miserable existence. And, you know, there's no good that comes of it, really. Not that there's no good, but it's just a horrible situation. I think people deciding abortion in that situation makes sense to me. It does. But that's not really like a good thing. Again, I think there's a sort of, I said it before already, but there's like a cartoonish representation, or there's just cartoonish people who view it as like, oh, this is me, like exercising my right or something. It's like, what? Like, I don't know. The situations I've seen, like I've said, were horrible situations where they didn't want to do it and they felt like they had to. And it just all around was terrible. But that's not something that's like a, it's hard to talk about it in positive terms of like, oh, I have a right that I'm exercising. You know what I mean? I can't think of it that way. It just seems like an out from a miserable situation.
Yeah. I mean, so, the liberal argument for it, which is like huge, of just like the personal rights thing, in my mind is like the weakest argument out of the whole bunch.
Women's choice, my body, my choice and all that.
Yeah. Like the classic liberal angle on this. It's just, it seems, just as an aside, just as a side note.
Yeah. And you know, yeah, I guess I don't know. Yeah. To me, again, like it just seems like something that comes up in situations where people need to. Now, say, for example, I got a girl pregnant and it was the condom broke. Like I took preventative measures and it just happened. And it was an accident, which happened. I would probably feel like, well, I would go to take plan B because I don't think that's murder. I don't think. Well, we talked about this before in the bonus. I think a fertilized egg is the same as a baby.
Well, and plan B technically just stops the sperm from fertilizing the egg.
Oh, somebody on Patreon made that comment. That was an interesting comment. They were just like, actually, it's not even like ending the fertilized egg. It doesn't allow the fertilization.
So to me, it's pretty, to me, there's a clear line there that's not killing.
Yeah. And
started,
yeah.
But that's, yeah, it's just, that's an aside.
Yeah. 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 That's a fair point. And, you know, but I think beyond that, you know, beyond that point, I think I would feel some kind of obligation of like, all right, well, you know, I don't really want to do this, but I'm kind of like, you kind of have to own up to what's going on. You know what I mean? Kind of situation. That's how I would deal with it. I'm not saying that's how other people should deal with it. That's how I would deal with it. But
yeah, I just raised the kid. You know what I mean?
But the other thing, too, is that I have enough money where it might not be great. It might be a little rough, but it's not insane to do. It's not impossible. Now, there are other situations where it's really not possible, and it's always possible, but it would be like horrible. It would be miserable. In that situation, I would understand someone making that choice, but that's the way I view it. I don't expect other people to think about it that way. Again, this whole thing, like the arguments are always the same. Like I've heard these arguments for decades and it never changes and nobody changes anybody's mind, so it just seems kind of like pointless to talk about it. But I mean, you know, I don't know what else to say about it. I mean,
one thing that's interesting is that there's a lot of hullabaloo about how this is going to, you know, go down, how this is going to affect other landmark decisions, et cetera. There's a lot of talk about Clarence Thomas, who I know is a favorite of the good old boys. But there's been a lot of talk of he apparently made some statement about this brings into question other decisions. And I think they involve right to privacy, as well as which generally kind of just covers like gay marriage and contraceptives. So I think that's another argument that's coming up in hysterics of people that are worried about, is this going to impact gay people's ability to get married now that this sets a certain precedent? And is it going to impact ability to access contraceptives? And I think that those are concerns that are valid.
I think a lot of the right does want to ban contraceptives and does want to reverse gay marriage. I don't think that's a leap to say that.
No, of course not.
So, and there was, what's interesting. Okay, this is sort of a interesting thing. Was there was talk of, you know, I was just sort of like, yeah, you know, this is just going to states' rights. This isn't really putting a nail in abortion or putting a nail in the pro-life side. It's not like a, you know what I mean? It's not as big as people are blowing it up to be. And then somebody was saying, yeah, but this is how we'll get a step to federally banning abortion, is what somebody was saying to me. And I saw a bunch of other arguments where people were saying we want to, on the right, they want to ban divorce, ban affairs, ban fornication, ban premarital sex. Now, to what degree people are like joking or whatever, that's always up in the air. It's the internet, obviously.
But wouldn't all those things take like an actual amendment to achieve, and not just like, that wouldn't be something that the Supreme Court could just like up and decide one day. that we're going to introduce new bands, you know.
Right, that's true. Yeah, it would have
to be. So those are things that would have to go through, like, Congress and the Senate. And, like, I personally don't ever see that actually going through Congress and the Senate anytime, unless there's just, like, a massive overhaul of who comprises the Senate and Congress. But, yeah, I don't know that I see that happening, but I was wrong about the Roe v. Wade thing to a degree, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think Amy Barrett and Clarence Thomas are both Catholic. I don't doubt that they would probably be into the idea of banning contraception and contraceptive. Or, well, it would be, I think it would be more, it would be whether or not you could get employers to pay for that shit, right? It would, to have that shit supported in insurance. And yeah, and gay marriage, I guess same thing. The thing is there, though, that, like, the legal case for Roe v. Wade was always really weak. Like, that's, it's kind of the whole thing, is that, like, it's really, really easily it's basically all you have to do is just, like, disprove that the concept of a basic right to an abortion exists. And, like, that's not really a hard thing to do, right? Because, like, it's certainly not a God-given right. The argument of just, like, yeah, kind of making it like a human right, it's always been a little shaky. I think they, what is it, it's the 14th and the I don't have a good understanding of the history of the court, to be honest, to wade into this water and make myself sound like a retard. But I don't really know that the situation in that nuts and bolts way is the same for gay marriage and for contraceptive. I just don't know if it's politically viable, because, you know, I mean, people can have sentiments as much as they want, right? I mean, I agree that I think that there is probably a pretty decent amount of interest in going against both those things on the right. But, like, a sentiment is very different from, like, political viability. And even with a majority on the court, I don't know.
I mean, gay marriage was decided in the Supreme Court, so
mm-hmm. Yeah,
that one would be more doable. And, you know, obviously I don't care about this issue. I don't know what it would fix. That's sort of my mentality with a lot of this stuff, is like, say you do ban abortion federally, like, I don't know what that's really solving. Again, like, there's going to be people doing abortions anyways, illegally. But that's sort of my stance across the board with banning things in general. Like everything, basically, like guns, like everything, drugs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that that's, like, a particularly, I mean, not to like get into the weeds about it, I guess, but, like, it's still going to lower the amount of people getting a fucking abortion. And if you buy into the premise that it's murder, then anything you can do to lower the number of murders happening is something you gotta pursue, you know. So I don't know. I mean, like, yeah, the prohibition argument, the argument against prohibition doesn't seem particularly strong in this case to me, but I get it.
As far as
broad, like, political conviction.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely clear that they want to ban it federally. I don't think that's in dispute. How they'd get there, like CUH said, that's a lot trickier than Roe v. Wade or the gay marriage thing. And, you know, the nature of the way our legislation is set up is that big sweeping changes like that are hard to do. But yeah, I mean, I also said, too, that this stuff is not on the front of my mind. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pro-choice, and I don't know. If they were tomorrow to just be like, we're federally banning abortion, I would just be like, that's kind of dumb. But I wouldn't really, I don't know, I wouldn't really feel too much about it. Maybe because I'm a dude. Maybe that's why. But, like, I don't know. It seems like there's some other bigger shit going on in the last 2 years, like this big economic decline that we've been in for 2 years straight. You know, it just, I don't know. That seems a little bit more pressing to me. And, you know, it's just shocking to me just, like, how bad things are economically, and that abortion and gun control are, like, the big topics. And it just blows my mind. And it's just like, I don't know what it would take for people to care about these things. I don't know what it would take. I have no idea what it would take, because apparently the worse things get, the less these matters are on people's mind. The more, and I've said it before in 2019, like one of our first episodes, I was like, when this crash comes, there's going to be worse culture war. It's going to happen. And, you know, that's just the way it works. But it's so like, it doesn't make sense. Like, why when things are worse around you economically, why doesn't that become more pressing in people's minds? Instead, the opposite happens. It becomes less pressing, and all these other things become more pressing. Like if they ban or gay marriage, like really, like who gives a fuck? I don't give a fuck. Like, I think that's stupid, but I don't really give a fuck if they do. Like, I don't know. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around this shit. It's hard for me to not be like upset by this. How I really feel.
Do you think that it has to do also just with the fact that like it's the economy is an abstract concept, and it's hard to get people fired up about an abstract concept?
I think that people are fired up about it, though. I think that people, everyone that I know and I work with, every time I go in a grocery store, I hear people talking about how expensive it is, how expensive gas is. Everyone that I know talks about that and is frustrated and affected by it. It's just that people just don't see there as any avenue to change that. No one's ever discussing actually fundamentally changing the economic nature of the way that we live our lives. And no one's actually ever given the rhetoric, the language, or even the framework to understand how to begin doing that type of stuff. And so, like, this just seems more like something that you could do. I mean, people have been at least talking about abortion for 50 fucking years. It's something that seems a little bit more like low-hanging fruit. Like, it's there that you could maybe actually do something about these cultural things because of the fact that they're the things that are dangled out in front of us. And they're the only things that are really presented as real options. And so people get this like conditioned response where they know that, oh, I'm not actually going to be able to get anything to really change my economic reality at all, or change the way that my life is materially constructed. And so these are the things that I'm going to pour all that energy into. I think a lot of it goes with that. And I think that, I mean, also you think about every time I talk to someone about, oh yeah, I'd like to see X thing happen or X, you know, X type of economic proposal. People are like, yeah, but that'll never happen. And you say, okay, well, like, what if someone ran on it or whatever? Oh, well, they would kill him. Okay, well, everyone's thinking that. Literally everyone I talk to all the time, it says shit like that. So of course no one thinks that there's any way to actually do anything or change, you know, the economy. And also, like you're saying, it is this big abstract thing, the economy, for most people. And so it's like, how do you make that something tangible for people? How do we get people together to have a coherent sense for how capital circulates through the economy, and then how that creates the social forces that basically construct our cultural lives as well? And how do we get people to see that in workable, movable blocks and things that can be changed, that can be turned, that can be moved around and fidgeted with? Because right now it just seems like these are things that are set in stone and we're never going to be able to change them regardless.
Yeah, I mean, the way the midterms are shaking out is that it's the Democrats are, what was that guy who was like shaking in his video? He's shaking, like tweaking out. I forget his fucking, I don't know if you guys saw it. This weird ass lib dude was like tweaking the fuck out and just saying like, we need to fucking have a massive turnout to vote Democrats to vote these people out or whatever.
Of course.
Which, you know, it seems like the way this is shaking out is like the Democrats are rallying behind protect abortion rights, mm-hmm. and the Republicans are going to be running on, you know, guns. And it seems like those are the two avenues. And I think no one's really going to run to either of them to handle any economic issues because they're both complicit.
Are they going to run on guns?
Republicans?
Yeah. Or is that just,
or like the teachers thing too? I guess the teachers thing.
The thing that I get is the teachers thing mostly.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Though to be fair, like I do think like, I mean, they will run on inflation. They just won't run on like anything meaningful about it.
Yeah.
They're just not going to do anything about it, really. In my opinion, I know Merrick was on here before and was like, oh, they can, you know, cut spending, whatever. But they spend a fuck ton. So, I mean, I don't know. It's not something I can see really panning out. I mean, they vote for all the fucking bailouts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I don't know. It's hard to imagine them, like, all of a sudden being against that. Yeah, I guess the teachers thing. The teachers thing is a pretty salient thing that I think they'll run on. And the guns thing, I think they've upset a lot of their base, because I just saw a lot of people on the right, like, really pissed and blackpilled about the GOP. They're like, they can't save us. You know what I mean? Like, because the GOP kind of, like, voted yes on some, what was it, the reasonable background check bill or whatever that was going on after Uvalde. I think the Republicans just kind of went along with it because I guess they would look crazy if they didn't, I guess, because it was so marginal. So I saw a lot of the right was very upset with them about that. But maybe the teachers thing, they still have some gas with that more than the gun issue. But again, yeah, it's the teachers, the guns, and the abortion, I think, are the things that are getting people to vote. And kind of going to be, you know, the main things in the news cycle for this year. But yeah, I don't know. None of that really moves me. If I don't hear anything about, I'm becoming a lot more rigid. If I don't hear anything about not voting for bailouts, then I don't give a fuck. I don't really care. Doesn't move me at all. So they're going to, you know, the Democrats are going to use this to push people to get them to vote. And I guess it's going to work on some people. I don't know. I don't know how people can hear the same shit every fucking year and still be moved by this. I don't know how people, like, I don't know. We live in different universes. I don't know. We just do. I don't know. That's all I can say about that. Sorry, what were you going to ask?
Do you think that Democrats still just, like, don't have a chance in hell going into the midterms? Or do you think that the script has been flipped a little?
That's a good question. I think the abortion thing is going to give them some gas. I think the guns thing will give them some gas. But again, you know, as much gas as it gives, it's really, like, I don't think it's just me that feels like this is on a loop. You know, I sometimes feel like I'm alone in this, like, oh, I'm the only one who feels like this. But I don't think I am. I think a lot of people feel kind of like, what the fuck? Didn't I hear all this shit before? Like, is anything really changing? Like you said at the beginning, like, I don't know. I think getting Trump out was the last election, right? That was like a big churn of energy for the Democrats. And I think that one has more gas because it's like 4 years straight nonstop of Trump is Hitler and, like, we need to get him out. And just people almost wanting, like, just to mute the TV, just like, please shut up. I don't want to hear this anymore. Like, it's almost like that type of energy more than, like, gas. It's just like, I want this to stop. So that seems more powerful and more of a turnout producer than this shit. This shit just seems kind of, I don't know, but maybe the Roe v. Wade being overturned. I mean, I never expected that, really, if I'm being honest. I didn't really expect it. But I mean, prior to that leak, I guess I should have, like you were saying, Slav. But, like, I don't know. This doesn't really This doesn't really faze me that much. So maybe it fazes other people. I don't know. COH, what do you think? Do you think it's set for the Republicans, or do you think it's, like, flipped it now?
I don't know, man. I think that most people are already pretty set in their sides.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really hard to shake that now. And so I think it's going to invigorate both of the bases in a pretty equal way. I don't know. I think that it may have flipped the script a little bit, because I definitely know I've seen a lot about it. Like, if I go on personal social media or whatever, there's just hysterics, you know. There's all this about killing women and blah 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 and Handmaid's Tale and
dude,
and
don't get me started on the killing women thing. Holy shit!
Yeah, and there's a lot of that, and there's a lot of, like, keep your Bible off my body and all this stuff. And so I don't know. I think it invigorated a base, but I don't know that it's, like, getting people to jump the fence or anything. I think most of the way, most people are just kind of set, or they're just not going to vote. You know what I mean? I think people that, I don't know that it's going to move a lot of people, but maybe it will, because what's voting going to do about this, right? You're going to have Democrats that are coming out running on actually codifying it into law, which I haven't really ever even seen, actually. I mean, people talk about it all the time, but I don't even think that's actually a thing that people do, is run on that. And so, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if it matters, really.
I think that they're just going to kind of put in whoever they want to.
Yeah, I think the Dems were dead meat before this. I think the COVID thing just kind of like the gas crisis, the inflation. I think they were just pretty much cooked, and now it doesn't seem as clear, which probably is by design. What do you think, Slav? You think it's pretty even?
What is
the Dems versus the GOP thing?
Oh, as far as the midterms. I really don't know. The hard thing about it is that, as COH said, you know, like you've certainly heard a lot about this stuff. You see it in the culture, right? And it's really hard because everyone's super over-cultured and propaganda works and everyone's super propagandized. But it's also like it's unreality. It's not real, right? And it's completely monopolized by one of the parties. And so I just really can't say. I think at the end of the day, the unsexy and safe bet to do is to say the Republicans have had such a strong advantage going into this, just because the hard, concrete bedrock shit of I'm, you know, at least 10% poorer than I was, you know, not too long ago.
Right, right.
I think you just stick with that. You know what I mean? Because it's impossible to actually gauge how much this like PSYOP barrage is actually affecting people.
Mm-hmm.
Because people perpetuating the fucking PSYOP are also the only people giving you a glimpse into like what the temperature of the room is.
Yeah.
And I would also say, like, after everything we've been through the last several years, it's just like I do kind of start to question the power of propaganda. So like how much people actually are eating this shit up. So I'm going to go with, I think the Republicans are still coming out on top big time.
Same. But yeah,
I wouldn't be too surprised if we had an upset.
Yeah. Really? I think I think that like you're saying, Slav, like the hyper reality of the propagandized like narrative versus what's actually taking place in day-to-day basis and behind the scenes and such. I think that's something that's a pretty big thing that this Roe v. Wade decision in general has kind of demonstrated for me in a glaringly obvious way. And it may be like an oversimplification or something, but it seems as though there's a disconnect on, you know, the cultural narrative and take on abortion and what actually is taking place. And like, for instance, I didn't think that we were in a place where I thought people being afraid of overturning Roe v. Wade was kind of like, that's kind of laughable. Cause I was like, we don't live in like this, you know, 1980s more puritanical type of Christianish led society as much anymore. And it's like that type of conservatism is like not something that is culturally prevalent in a meaningful way politically, like right now, as far as turning the levers of things. But at the end of the day, that's just what happened, you know, and it didn't have anything to do with the cultural narrative. And so that's just something that I've been thinking about recently. It's just the disconnect there.
And what's the argument? Because you were mentioning this before, what's the killing women argument? Like, what's the argument about? I actually don't know.
Oh, I think it's just talking about cases in which, well, first of all right, in a very real way, it doesn't mean fucking anything, because what it is people just like scrambling to have the most overstated angle on this laid out. But the truth that does exist in it is basically, you know, the idea of a medically necessary abortion, right? I believe there's a couple of states that have what are called trigger laws, right, for where, you know, as soon as Roe v. Wade was overturned, it would trigger all these laws banning, and these are the state banning abortion and all these things. And these are the states that have the most hardline angles on it, right? And I believe there may be a couple of these trigger law states where medically necessary abortion is banned. I don't really know that for sure. The amount
of the narrative that's being taken up by people screaming that like women are going to die. And I don't even necessarily know if like this is the only thing they're even specifically talking about. I think that when people are saying it, I think it has a lot more to do with just like these abstract concepts of like the totemic woman is being attacked by these bad guys of history and women are going to die, almost as if they're just like believing in just these like magical bad vibes floating around or something. But yeah, I think that's what it's actually addressing, is like the medically necessary stuff, which I, for the record, I mean, I don't really, I can't say that I know a ton about the case against medically necessary abortions, but like, I can't really say that I oppose them. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. My initial thought was like that thing you were saying before of like, oh, people having abortions by like forcing it, like illegal, like doing their home abortions or whatever, or like deliberate miscarriages or something going wrong there.
I think that's definitely part of it,
which, you know, yeah, I mean,
I didn't hear you there. What'd you say?
Like when you were talking about like, oh, people doing illegal abortions at home, like not even leaving the state, or maybe they can't leave the state or whatever, and they just sort of like do it at home and kind of force a miscarriage and something goes wrong there, which could totally happen. That's what I thought that was, but like,
I guess that's the really obvious thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that like, you know, yeah. I mean, I don't want to sound cold or whatever, but like,
it's not really killing women, is it?
Huh? Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I guess in a literal sense it is, but like, again, you know, these things are all on the margins, and I mean, I know it sounds cold, but like, I'm focused on like the bigger thing, the bigger, broader thing that's sort of slowly killing everybody, right? It's sort of breeding the death around us in various forms, in various ways, through crime or drugs or everything, you know? So that's like, that's the bigger thing I'm thinking about. And you could find with every issue that there's ways that people are dying from it in their own way or whatever, but like, I don't know. I'm focused on like the broader thing. And that's, I guess that sounds like I don't really care, but again, you know, again, that's how I feel about all the cultural things, is that there's marginal things happening on the edges, and you could make cases for the damage being done of all these things, but like, what's got the biggest numbers and the biggest effect is the economic thing to me. That's very obvious to me. But I mean, would you guys agree that there's situations where there's like families where, you know, forget even the rape and incest, because again, like, how often are there even really like illegal abortions and like somebody dies from it, and like, how often does that really happen? I'm sure it happens, but like,
well, I guess we, the numbers really are not staggering because the conditions aren't,
yeah,
right, so we'd be imagining it, right? But like, you know, through rape and incest pregnancies, like, I'm sure that shit happens. I don't know the real numbers, you know, I'm kind of talking out of my ass, I don't really know the real numbers, but I don't know if it's like super common, you know what I mean? And we're talking about just red states where they can't do it and it's not allowed. Maybe they'll write in the condition that it's okay in those situations, extreme situations. But I don't know. What are we talking about numbers wise? Which I you know, it sounds cold to just put it all in numbers, but like,
well, it's low. It's because I know that like the total percentage of abortions that are either medically necessary or recommended, and or from rape or incest, is less than 1% of abortions.
Really? Okay. See, that sounds about what I'd imagine.
It's actually funny. Someone texted me this. My buddy actually texted me the numbers on this last night, so I can literally just bring it up right now. Here we go. All right. 92.330% of abortions are for no listed reason. They're elective. 6.268%, the woman aborted for social or economic reasons. 0.66%, there was a serious fetal abnormality. 0.294, the woman's psychological health was threatened by the pregnancy. 0.288, the woman's physical health was threatened. 0.85, the woman was raped. 0.65, the woman's life was endangered by the pregnancy. Actually, reading this out loud, the numbers...
What study is this?
I don't even fucking know. I don't even trust these numbers, to be honest, because 92 for no reason just means to me that they had flawed data gathering. But
that's what I was. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, so never mind. But well, which the real lesson here is that I should never really try to bring statistics onto the show ever.
Yeah.
First time we tried to fact check each other and
exactly.
No, but I'm just going off gut and like what COH said. Like, I assume those situations are freak occurrences. By the nature of what's happening. You know what I mean? There's not rape and incest happening all the time, and the pregnancies from that is not all the time. So not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying that the numbers can't be that high. Now, as far as like economic reasons, I mean, if we're all acknowledging that like the cost of living is going up and inflation is making your money worth less and everybody's getting killed everywhere with the economy, I don't get how people can acknowledge that and not realize that that's going to affect things like abortion rates, right? Like there's always this thing of like it feels like the right acknowledges a lot of economic turmoil and distress if it's about getting a Democrat out and getting a Republican in. But if it's like, okay, but what about all these other issues you care about? Doesn't that affect the things you care about, like having a family, like all this other stuff? And for some reason, then it doesn't matter that everybody's fine economically, actually. So it's everybody like picks and chooses opportunistically, obviously, but I mean, do you believe that's a real thing, that there's situations where people are like they're struggling and the kid happens by accident and they just cannot provide a decent life for the kid? Like, you believe that's a thing, obviously, right?
Yeah, of course.
Right. And then I think what happens here is like we get into the moral philosophical debate of, is that situation or that predicament, does that outweigh the life of the unborn kid? Which, again, nobody can do this. Third trimester is illegal across the board. Like in Roe v. Wade, it's illegal. So we're talking about first trimester. So does the first trimester outweigh that situation, basically? And that's a moral conundrum. So you're going to get a bunch of different answers about that.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the first trimester doesn't outweigh it. It doesn't.
For me, it's like, that's, I don't know, that's really the fair comparison, is weighing it up against the first trimester, because it's also the entire life that would come after the first trimester.
Yeah, I mean,
to weigh it against.
I think that there's a sleight of hand going on when we frame it as having anything to do with the trimesters, right? Like that, and that's kind of my whole point of just like you know, the when life begins thing is just a rabbit hole, right?
Yeah, of course. We had this debate, and I think that, you know, couple first weeks is not the same thing as a baby. I don't think that, but we disagree on that. But like, this is where people get into this is the age old debate of like, how do you weigh one predicament over the other? And everybody's going to interpret it differently. So it's kind of just like, it's just kind of stuck. It's just kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't see a resolve for that. I don't. Do people like change their minds about this? I've never seen anybody change their mind about it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Have you guys seen that happen? Like, somebody convince somebody else about this? Like, I've never seen that.
I think I've been swayed on it more. I used to be more staunchly pro-choice, and I am now much less firm in that, and have re-examined the whole thing, and formed some personal opinions on it that I think may differ from where they were for me, I don't know, 5 years ago. But also 5 years ago, I was 20 years old. So I mean, that's part of it too. And also, yeah, I don't know. I think that also 5 years ago, I had probably thought less in general about a lot of things from my own perspective, and was kind of probably operating a little bit more on just, you know, just given cultural narratives and stuff that I was just kind of tossing around and taking, not entirely without question, but definitely taking more for granted than I do now. And so I think that had a lot to do with it.
Are we saying, do we know anyone who's changed their opinion on abortion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who has.
Personally. I know quite a few people. And to be honest, like, I kind of feel like I actively am right now. I don't think it's that difficult, you know, because I do think just the, I mean, I think that the idea that like in an unborn fucking whatever you even want to call it, an unborn child being aborted, the idea that that's a living thing, it's like people try not to give that oxygen, because like, for good reason, because like, if you have that stick with somebody, right, and it just clicks in their mind,
the debate's kind of over in a lot of cases, right? And so for the most part, I think the strategy is to just is to suffocate that argument. And yeah, I mean, I know a pretty decent amount of people that have been swayed personally.
In which direction? All in one direction or
pro-life? I can't say that I know anybody who's been swayed to pro-choice, actually.
Yeah, I don't know that that's something that would be easy to do.
Yeah, I think that's hard to do. Because again, I feel like it's just one of these things of like the second it just clicks that it's a living thing, it's like over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a spiritual person, it's very hard to be like strongly pro-choice in any type of way once you start to actually approach it on spiritual terms.
I think it is like a spiritual thing, like because I don't think that early couple weeks is like a living thing.
It's a metaphysical, right? Like it's not necessarily spiritual. It's also philosophical, but like it's metaphysical. And so yeah, and thus in that way, like there isn't a clear answer. And like the scientism behind basically being like, it's not a real thing. It's been debunked. Like that's bullshit. And I think that shows like an intellectual laziness a lot of people have. But I think it's to basically just say that like it's like proven science now.
I think that if
you want to say, well, that's not really life. Like that's fine. I respect it if you're like, you know, it's a philosophical disagreement. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
as opposed to being like the scientific studies are in and oh man, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson face here. It's over for you guys. It's like,
That's a good point. Yeah. Even in the Roe v. Wade decision, I think like I read it in college or whatever. I think like they're having big debates of like, oh, when the heartbeat starts or when the brain activates, oh, they're debating all this stuff. And it's clearly like not understood. It's not really like decided on even in the scientific realm, really. Not really.
No, fuck no, dude.
So I guess that's a good point, because I guess I would just phrase it as I don't value it the same as a life. I don't. I think that's maybe that's the better way to phrase it. Is like I don't value that 4 weeks or 6 weeks the same as I would a baby. You know what I mean? I wouldn't do that. I personally wouldn't. I can't equate the two in my mind. But
I mean, if you were like sitting to me with a gun to my head and I had a full grown baby like out of the womb in my right hand and I had like a 3 week fetus in my left hand and you said I had to drop one of them, I'm dropping the fetus. But like
yo, the trolley experiment FedPo style. There we go.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that I don't think that it's alive and you know that shit.
No, I appreciate the forthrightness.
I agree with both of you.
Yeah.
Like I'm not gonna weigh it the same, right? I don't think that framing it as weighing it the same as a baby dispels the argument like at all. I agree. If I was standing at the edge of a cliff and hanging off the edge was a fetus, right? An unborn baby and next to it was a fucking 2-year-old baby, I'm saving the 2-year-old. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer to me. But if I can, I would try to save both of them.
I was just going to say third option. I'm going to go find the mother, and then she can help me save both of them.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I would say this of all the cultural issues, this is the most sticky one, and like most complicated one, honestly. Like, because everything else is this is the only one that gets into real deep, like philosophical questions and metaphysical questions, and like we started debating about like free will, like when does that even happen with like in conversation? Like that's weird. Like we got into some weird shit. Like this is one of the stickier ones. Mm-hmm. And it's probably why I'm more like it also builds to my apathy, because I'm kind of like you view it that way, like I don't know what to say. Like I guess so. Like I don't know, it's kind of hard to
it's easy to, I can at least understand like recognizing the point in a debate where you're like, oh, okay, so like we could just get in the roundabout and just go around forever. And so I'm just going to check out of this now. And like, I'm not going to have an answer. I'm just going to check out of this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially when the point you were making of like, if you admit that no one like Well, at least in the scientific realm, there is no like clear answer on this. You know, in the spiritual realm, maybe there is a clear answer, but like at least in the scientific realm, like this, well, because there's no answer for
because
this.
Because the premise of it doesn't make any sense. Like, it's not something that you can.
Yeah, it's an intangible thing. Like, it's a fundamental question about the nature of a life and reality, and like,
yeah,
that's not something that you can just put into a box scientifically and have a clean answer on.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, it's like just, a lot of things. Science just isn't the tool for everything, and like scientism, just like worship of science, is what leads people to like act. Just the idea that science has anything fucking at all to do with religion in the first place is just like honestly bullshit.
With religion in what way?
Just like, the
what,
idea what, that they're like competing.
Oh. I guess. Competing. Yeah. I get what you mean. There's. That's probably also why there's a lot of like ways to overlap them.
Yeah, you could say it's like, to me, I think it's more like Venn diagram, right? Like, I think there's things that people understood in metaphysical ways that now there are scientific material ways to understand those concepts that you can point to as tried and true methods for understanding it that have better helped to contextualize metaphysical notions already. And then I also think that there are like things that science there has no way of answering that are squarely in the realm of metaphysical. And then I also think that there are things that science probably answers in a more cohesive way for us to understand as material beings than metaphysical concepts can for specific problems like illnesses and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just like, it's just that like symbolism isn't really gonna like answer every question that doesn't mean that they're like, yeah, I mean, they do fundamentally different things. And yeah, there's like certain places where perhaps their explanations have like some marginal like overlap.
I think that's why you get them posited as competing views, though, because people will be like, oh, well, back before science was a thing, religious people used to believe that X thing was caused by blank or whatever.
I mean, it's just funny because it's right, so thoroughly right. straw-manned. And like,
yeah,
it makes me think of like the Big Bang Theory was like that was formed by a Catholic priest.
And it's also interesting that like oh, yeah, that's not science. I mean, it's a scientific theory, but like at the end of the day, it's a theory just like the theory of creationism is a theory. Right, like
it is used to inform, you know, it's foundational to a lot of other stuff within
Definitely. I'm just saying that just because this is quote in the realm of science doesn't mean that it's any more provable in any way than the religious concepts or metaphysical concepts either. This specific thing, which is the bedrock for understanding of a lot.
Well, and fucking A, it's not in opposition at all, because again, it's the product of someone who was a fucking Catholic priest. You know what I mean? So like, it doesn't, like, it's just, it runs parallel. They're just not the same fucking thing. And it kind of drives me nuts that people are.
I think in the old days, you know, religion was the science. And I think the scientific like institution sort of replaced it, I think, in like the social, like the public conscious, maybe.
Yeah.
Right. I think. Like scientists are treated like a priest caste.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a political institution.
And, there was a point where you'd go to the religious authorities to figure out the nature of the universe, you know, that you'd ask them like scientific questions in a way, or there was kind of a blurring of it, of like, or even just like the old philosopher, like Greek philosophers, like the questions of spirituality and questions of science were really kind of close because we didn't know shit. Like, well, we really didn't know shit.
Well, and also for like the vast majority of history, like most science has been done within the church.
Yeah.
Right. And
literally they, you know, So I mean, like the idea that they're even separate is a fairly new.
Yeah. The church was like the state. The church was like everything. The church was like all authority. So obviously like public consensus of knowledge, which is what we consider science now, like that's, you know, religion was that at the time. I'm thinking of that the AI conversation you guys had. I wish I could have interjected some stuff, but yeah, I mean, like, Yeah, you know,
we listen back to it and we do a commentary episode of the
just DVD commentary.
That should be a bonus. That would be so fucking funny.
And
that would be funny. Just me ad libbing and dubbing and just like, yeah.
Me just listening back to me and just sighing, like, oh man, I didn't make a good point there.
It'll be the final, it'll be the highest form of this medium being realized. And podcast can just end after we do it.
And we'll finally put the nail in that coffin. That may be the one good thing we do.
All right, that was part one of our episode. If you'd like to listen to part two, you can find that at patreon.com/fedpost. Thanks for listening.